Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Betty, aren't you glad you're following a segment about the toe bro and the pimple popper?
She isn't going to want to come back on the show.
Can you hear me on this thing?
I can hear you perfectly, yeah.
I can't get over that, actually.
Yeah. You think that we had to see some junk on stage, right, in Chicago?
Is this a show you're talking about?
These are real shows. These are real shows that are on. What's this world coming to?
Exactly. Exactly.
This is our pal Betty Moore, who's the theater and opera critic for Le Bon Travel and Culture. And we always love talking theater with the very outspoken Betty. Always nice to have you here with us.
Thank you, Dean.
So before we start, shall I tell you my La Boheme story?
Yeah.
You told me that if there was one a piece of opera that I was going to watch, it should be La Boheme.
Correct.
Which they had it before the new year, but then they went on strike over at the Lyric Opera.
Yeah.
So that got cut off, but they brought it back in January, and I missed it.
You know what?
I missed it.
It'll come back again.
Yeah. I'm going to go.
It comes back all the time.
I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go see it because they just opened Elektra, right?
Last night.
Yeah, it was a great production. At the Lyric Opera.
You know what's interesting about that most people don't know? The composer of it, Richard Strauss, you remember 2001 Space Odyssey?
Of course.
Okay. That was his music. That was his great music. And it's very interesting how Stanley Kubrick was very smart about doing it, because what he did is, it's called Also Spake Zarathustra.
Right.
And he took it from the Nietzsche novel. What Nietzsche had in mind is that he saw human beings as between apes and some ubermensch, some great, powerful creature.
Yeah.
And notice when 2001 Odyssey opens, it opens up with the ape.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting thing. And the guy wrote some other really good music. Rosen Cavalier, he wrote Salome. It was a very good production.
Yeah, yeah. How was the production of Elektra last night?
It was terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the singing is fantastic. The orchestra, the Lyric Opera has got one of the great orchestras of the world. The set design is stunning. Now, I'm a little jaded. I've seen lots of sets. When the curtain pulled aside, I was like, almost caught my breath. The set was so beautiful. It's just, you know what? It's only a one-act play. I mean, one-act opera. And, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people know the story. It takes place in Mycenae, Greece, which is about 1500 BC. The classical age of Greece is about 500 BC. And they're not sure it's mythology, but I believe it really happened. There was a community in Greece called Mycenae, a state. And I was actually, when I was in Greece, I walked through the Lion's Gate. So what the story is about, basically, Electra's father, Agamemnon, is murdered by her mother, Clytemnestra, because she's having an affair with this guy. So it's a revenge story. She's hell-bent on revenge. There's blood all over the stage. The music is thunderous. So it's basically a revenge tale.
That sounds like it could be a cable show.
It could be.
That could be a cable TV show on right before the pimple popper and right after the toe doctor.
I'm sure it's better than the pimple popper. I'm sure of that. Yeah. Yeah, it was
I remember reading Elektra in school. Probably high school.
Yeah, you probably did.
Might be college. But I remember seeing productions of it and always just being fascinated. I'm always fascinated how these ancient stories are still so applicable. Even though they were written, in some cases, thousands of years ago, they still are very applicable to situations and scenarios that are going on today.
Here's the clue. If they're dealing with human nature, it doesn't matter the time. That's why Shakespeare is still so relevant.
Right, right.
If they're dealing, human nature doesn't change at all.
Right.
It stays the same. We're all jealous, envious, murderous. The wrong people are sleeping with the wrong people.
Right. Right. And Lyric Opera, I mean, their history precedes them of fantastically produced shows. Beautiful music, beautiful voices, beautiful orchestra, and their sets are second to none. What the actual production of putting on a show, second to none with any show that I've
ever
seen.
And you know something? They did a production of Carmen many, many years ago that I saw here. And when I went to Valencia, had a new opera company there, and I went to see the same show, and Carmen takes place in Spain. The Lyric Opera's production was so fantastic. It's better than a lot of the European opera companies.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's other productions that Betty is going to tell us about. We'll find out all about that as our Week in Theater continues. It's 10:45, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Dean Richards on Super Bowl Sunday. WGN. Are you a Super Bowl watcher, Betty? Do you sit with your critic's hat on and critique everything that's going on?
I'm afraid not, Dean.
What will you do during the Super Bowl today?
Actually, I've got some reviews to write.
Okay.
And I'm going to probably do that. And, you know, I'm embarrassed. My husband was a really big, big fan of football. And I would watch it. And to me, it looked like a bunch of guys just running around. Piling on top of each other.
Yes.
I mean,
so far that's accurate.
Every once in a while, somebody would throw a ball and somebody would catch it. And then it was fun to watch it, like when a guy would run all the way across the field.
Yeah.
Then it would be fun. But most of the time, they're just stopping and doing nothing. And then they're piling on. It's a very long process.
It is. It is. But that's a fantastic review of the game of football right there. And fairly accurate as well. During the break, Betty and I were talking about other operas like La Traviata that is coming to the Lyric Opera later.
February 16th.
Yeah, later in the month. And, you know, we're just saying how things don't change that much with some of these stories that have been written years ago that could be cable
TV
operas.
Yeah.
La Traviata, you were saying, is what? It's about a prostitute?
It's about, you know what? You remember Pretty Woman?
Yeah.
It's a Pretty Woman story only set to the most gorgeous. Verdi is like my favorite of all the opera.
Yeah.
It's set to the most gorgeous music. But if you like Pretty Woman, you're going to go nuts over La Traviata.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is the story.
Prostitute who falls in love
with a
rich guy?
A rich guy, and he's in love with her, but the father wants her to leave the young man so he could pursue his career. Yeah. And, of course, it's also a camellia. She gets consumption. It's a tragedy at the end, but it's gorgeous to look at.
Yeah.
The music is fantastic.
I just love how it perfectly fits, like, the crazy storylines that we see on TV shows and movies.
Oh, it's
everything
better.
Old is new again.
Exactly.
Everything old is new again. All right, so tell me about A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder at the Porchlight Theater.
Well, you know, you were just saying everything is new again. And I don't know if not everybody's seen it. In 1949, there was a movie with Alec Guinness called Kind Hearts and Coronets. And this is about about a man who's, and it's basically A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder is the same story all over again. This time it's set to music. It's this English guy. His mother was from a very rich, famous family, a dukedom or something like this. She gets thrown out of the family, disinherited, because she falls in love and marries a Spanish musician, which tells you what the English thought of the Spanish.
Right.
And his mother's a washerwoman, and he doesn't know that he's in line for succession. When the mother dies, the neighbor next door says, by the way, did you know that your mother, she was royalty and you were in line and blah, blah, blah. The only problem is there are 8 people ahead of him in the succession. And he falls in love with this woman. She doesn't want to marry him because he's poor. So he devises a scheme how he's going to get rid of the 8 people in front of him, and how he, you know, kills him is rather humorous. I mean, you know, one guy dies of a bee sting. Another one dies of a heart attack. He has someone sent to a place in Africa where they have cannibals. I mean, one after another, he figures out how to dispose people. The show played here in Chicago at, I think it was the Oriental, but one of the Broadway and Chicago theaters in 2015, the end of it. This little theater company, Porchlight Music, which is at the Ruth Page Center now, it's fantastic. It's better than the downtown shows. And, of course, you know, it's going to be less expensive. But they are doing – they also did Gypsy a couple months ago. They're they're doing great work.
They do fantastic work.
Yeah.
And as is often the case, these smaller scale down productions that you could have seen on bigger theaters are much more intimate, get right to the – much more to the point. It's more about – the substance of the play rather than style.
And that's probably why I liked it so much, yeah, more than the downtown. Some of these shows get lost when they're in these big cavernous theater,
right,
places.
Yeah, some theaters are too big for some, yeah, of the shows.
This is just, everyone will have a wonderful time with this.
Okay.
I mean, this is it. And in contrast, the other one that I was going to talk about that I saw, Realistic Joneses.
Okay.
It's a weird title, and that's because they're four characters, two married couples. Their names are Jones, you know, and they're trying to say, Will Eno is the playwright. He's trying to say something profound. I found it rather tedious. It's too long. And some people have compared him to Sam Beckett. And if anyone knows Sam Beckett, when he wrote Waiting for Godot, a woman from America asked him what he was trying to say. And he says, gee, I don't know. I was drunk at the time that I wrote it, whatever you think.
I suspected that.
Yeah.
When I saw Waiting for Godot, it's like somebody was drunk when they wrote this. And
he was.
Nobody wants to say that this is weird.
Everyone's
watching it. Like, you know, sometimes you go to the art museum and you're looking at a big canvas with just a splash of paint on it, and everyone's trying to analyze the meaning, and it's a splash of paint is what it is, and that's what I think of Waiting for Godot.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. As a matter of fact, one of the things, you know how you think that I'm always outspoken?
You are.
Okay, one of the things that made me so, this is a long time ago, maybe 20 years ago, I was invited to give a talk at Columbia College to some students who wanted to become journalists and maybe into theater. And there was this young man who said to me, I just saw Waiting for Godot, and all the critics raved about it, and I walked out of the intermission, and I thought there was something really wrong with me,
right,
that I didn't get it. And he gave up on theater after that.
Wow.
That set me to thinking, I don't want that to happen to me, which is why I go out of my way to be so honest no matter what's going on.
Right.
I don't want to lose people think, well, the critic thinks it's good. Something must be wrong with me.
Yeah.
So this play, The Realistic Joneses, is about these two couples. Nothing happens, really. There's very little plot. The two men have some sort of disease that you really don't know what their problem is. The two women are having a hard time coping with it. That's as much of a plot. Now, there are some very funny lines in it, but when you walk out of it, the only thing that I could get out of it is that it's hard making human connections. Relationships are difficult, which I already knew before I went into the theater,
right,
so it's not telling me anything new.
Right, but it's not a dynamic like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, or
no,
it's also two couples.
No, no.
Nothing like that.
No, I mean, the couples interchange at one point. I thought, oh, this might be getting interesting because the husband's interested in the other wife and vice versa. It toys with it for like a few seconds where they're saying nice things to each other. It looks like they might have had an overnight stay, but you're not sure. That's about it. I kept thinking, you remember Dinner with Andre?
Sure.
And you kept thinking,
again, two people just talking.
Right. Something has got to happen.
Right.
Something has got to happen. And the only suspense in that was, are they going to order dessert? You know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
This is the same kind of thing. I kept waiting for something wonderful to happen. And it was just, you know, and not only that, but it's kind of, I find Beckett depressing. I found this depressing. The fact that human beings have such a difficult time connecting, that's not a happy thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, on the one hand, there's one, I think, a terrific show, A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. On the other hand, the Realistic Joneses, you know.
Not so realistic.
Yeah, unless you like that kind of angst, you know?
Yeah, Shattered Globe is putting it on. It's a theater wit. And if, you know, anyone is interested in checking it out. You know, it's very interesting that you talk about the young man who saw a play that everybody was raving about, only he didn't like it. I think a lot of people, you know, walk out of shows and they're very influenced by what other people say. I notice this because I have quite a few, I call them junior movie critics that email me. They're, you know, kids, they're teenagers, sometimes younger, and they send me their reviews. They want me to see their reviews. And I always tell them, stay true. Whatever it is that you think, don't give two hoots about what everybody else is saying. You stay true to whatever it is that you think, even though you may be the only one in the world that thinks that. Stay true to your own voice.
That's fantastic advice.
Because that's the...
That is.
I mean, in life, really, not just reviews. Everyone should be honest to what they really feel and think. But especially if you're a critic or if you're going to the theater, stay true to whatever you think that you saw of the show. Don't wait for a critic to tell you how you should feel about something.
You know something, Dean, that is like perfect advice. It's not only good advice for being a theater critic or any kind of critic, it's fantastic advice for life. The only success in life is being true to yourself.
Yeah.
If you're somebody else, you've already lost.
Yeah.
Great advice.
Yeah, you can only be a second rate somebody else, but you can be a first rate yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And young people especially, you know, some of these the teenagers and young kids that you know, want to be movie critics and, you know, send me all of this stuff. It's already tough enough being a kid, and you know, it's easy to be influenced by what somebody else is telling you what you should think. Stay true to yourself, no matter what.
But you know something, Dean? I find it's very difficult for a lot of people to do that because you've got a lot of peer pressure,
yeah,
a lot of people around you. I remember when I first started reviewing, I was talking to somebody who was on the board of one of the theaters, and after she read my review, she said, you call yourself a critic? Because I disagreed with her. You really have to have a little bit of courage to stand up for what you believe,
yeah,
when everyone else around you. And sometimes, this is one of the problems I'm having with today's world. If you say something that people disagree with you, you are losing friends. You are losing family sometimes.
Well, especially, you know, with this world of the internet, which we live now, in social media, where, you know, you say something and the whole world knows about it.
It's like high school all over again.
Yeah, only worse.
It's like high school, you're right, only worse.
Only worse.
Exactly.
People want to check out Betty's reviews, you can go to LeBonTravel-Culture, LeBonTravel-Culture.com, LeBonTravel-Culture.com.
It's a toughie, I know.
That's where she reviews theater and opera. And is honest as anything, and that's why we love her.
Thank you, Dean.
Betty Moore, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much. Take